I was up to about the 8th verse the other night of the 1st chapter, wherein he, that is God, hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. His choice of us is wise and economical. We are his choice. Might as well read the 4th and 5th verses, which is the foundation. Might as well read it all. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's all the credential he needed. Didn't need anything else. And God still has the capacity to raise up one today. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Or in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I've said this probably 10 times in the last 2 weeks. The Greek word's exelexito. It's in the middle voice. A voice we do not have as a grammatical part of our language that can identify. You have to have the context to identify what the middle voice in the formation of the words in the Greek language makes clear. It is a choice that separates out from others, and it is a choice that separates out from others, and here's the middle voice, clear in the form of the word in the Greek. We don't have, I repeat. English is kind of simple. We have tenses, for example, of verbs, past, present, future. And the more complicated ones are in between and showing different degrees of the kind of action going on. But we don't have middle voice. You know the tenses of verbs are defined by the ending of the verb, or the shape of the word, the way the letters are positioned. Likewise, in the Greek, the middle voice is identified by the way the word is spelled. And the middle voice adds a dimension to this choosing, which is a choosing or separating out from others by specifying for whom. And the middle voice means he chose us out from among all others for himself. You don't cross that hurdle, you can't even get started in Christianity. That's why most of the evangelism of the world is accomplishing nothing, because it starts on the wrong premise. Anywhere, anytime, the thought is communicated that you have to be appealed to in order to get you to choose God or accept Christ, you have caricatured the gospel going out the gate. And you create, I'm trying to find the right word, you create a church that is nothing like the church he's called or chosen. It can have the name, but it is not his church. You corrupt the beginning relationship with God with that pervert thought that you're coming to God because he passed muster with you. That you're coming to God because you've decided to accept him. You haven't really started. You might as well become a Hare Krishna and call yourself Christian. You might as well become a Buddhist or go find a channeler and call yourself Christian. I mean, when you're off the road, man, doesn't matter whether you're a mile out in the brush or just in the ditch alongside. You're off the road. Until you understand that he chose us, separated us, those that are his and Christian thus, and there ain't no other Christian, He chose us before the worlds were formed out from among everyone else for himself. Why is God treating me this way? He has in mind to do in and through and by and for us what he wants from those of us and in those of us that he chose for himself. Well, what a self-centered view. Right. That big old big boss man of eternity who created man, saying, let us make man in our own image, unleashed the evil potential of sin by putting that part of himself in man, allowing a choice, even though he had made a prior choice that out of the whole stream of mankind he would, for their failings he knew would occur, one day pay a price to buy up the whole field of the world, a sufficient price to redeem all mankind, including those he doesn't want. That the riches of that grace he might bestow on a select band, an elected band, that he chose out from the rest of the world, some here, some there, some this generation, some that generation, as he makes up his number that the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 are waiting for, that we might all together obtain the ultimate promise of redemption in its full realized orb in eternity. He selected out for himself. And God's claims on your life are giving you trouble and competing with your claims. You've been listening to too much preaching about a God who's your bellhop, your banker, your lackey, your doctor. I know that the full gospel Pentecostal revival that grew out of the second definite work of grace, people such as the Nazarenes, the Pentecostal revival that then grew into the charismatic renewal, had a claim that even produced the so-called four-square denomination. Their identity cry was, Jesus, my Savior, my baptizer, my healer, my coming king. And they did restore the concept of a genuine traumatic conversion experience. They did restore that experience beyond the initial saving work called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was an outgrowth with external expressions of the second definite work of grace concept. They did restore attention on the healing nature of God and the expectancy of his return and deliverance of his church. But you can see where they're coming from by the first pronoun. My Savior, my baptizer, my healer, my coming king. And I do believe those revivals produced to people with deeper commitments. And we have a second and third generation product across America of those who grew up in that experience, but still too self-centered. And that's the basic problem of the church, which is produced a bunch of hireling preachers who must appeal and compete for that self-serving urge that uses God and never even approaches the concept. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath separated us out for himself. That concept hasn't come home. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, not as the ground of the choice. He selected us in love, in agape, based on intrinsic value in the object receiving the love, and not because we were holy and without blame before him, but rather he selected us for himself that we might become for him holy, which is rooted in the word hagios, that has nothing to do with righteousness, has everything to do with total commitment. That we be exclusively and wholly committed to him and without blame before him. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, in love. That's the starting point of Christianity. You don't understand that, you ain't. You're like a comet wondering why you don't have an orbit. Having predestinated, foreordained us, those that he selected out for himself. Foreordained us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I want that one. I've been beaten on it now for 2 weeks, that you come to appreciate the choice. I don't know, I'm chosen. No man cometh to the Father save the Spirit draw him. Why are you listening? Why are you still in touch with the truth? That's the best witness. Devil sure isn't going to make you want to listen to this teaching. Flesh sure isn't going to make you want to listen to it. As Luther says, and I preached this morning, the flesh, the world, and the devil will do everything they can to keep you from hearing the truth. Why do you keep turning back to me? Are you the only one that teaches this? Well, I ain't saying that, but you're listening to me. The steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord. Well, I'm turning the knob and leaving. I don't want any more of this. Goodbye. Go ahead. Jay Levy. And he chose us, separated us for himself, foreordained us to adoption in his family. You want children that make you proud? In fact, any father and any mother understands you don't mind facing a mistake with your child. If you can face it once, cross that hurdle where in love that child will be without blame from you, and you start over. But as someone said in a basketball game we were having the other day, when Roy Tuttle hit me in the head and stomped my foot and sprained my thumb, one of the other wise participants on my team said, you know, after three times, oops hardly sufficeth. A lot of wisdom in that. You want to see some progress. Any parent doesn't want to be proud of their kids. Now, we don't have the right. We hold them as a stewardship. We don't have the right to own them. God has a right to own us. The option is eternal death. God's word is very clear. The rebellious nature, that which kept the neo-orthodox theologians searching until they could only find the answer in God's word, that bent in our nature for rebellion, makes us all stand guilty before God, no matter how limited our knowledge or how rich our knowledge of his law. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And like it or lump it, he's the boss, he has the power. And the alternative to being chosen is eternal damnation. Well, I don't like that. And much you can do about it. It's like a gnat or an ant standing on a rail yelling at a freight train. It doesn't like the vibrations as it approaches. Well, see if it likes the juice more as the train runs over it. The issue of religion is, does God exist? If he does, by definition, he's the boss. You're not going to recreate God in your image. He selects some out for adoption. According to the good pleasure of his will, and he chose us to the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I don't want to go any more years of my life pastoring a church that doesn't understand its heritage. I don't even want to associate anymore, if I can avoid it. Sinners, those that haven't had the light shine on them, I can tolerate them. I don't want to associate with anybody in the Christian world anymore. Can't stand them. That doesn't understand this concept. That denigrates what it means to be part of the chosen. In whom we have redemption, the redemption, the Greek has it. Not just redemption. In whom we have the redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I'm sorry, there ain't any other sinner out there that has this redemption applied. The price is paid for the whole world. He applies and makes it applicable to those that he chose. Sorry, there ain't anybody out there going to get their sins forgiven. The measure of the basis of forgiveness is deep and wide and capable of covering everybody. Only the chosen. You know, they love to talk about God's grace and say, God could forgive Hitler. Bovine scatology. Theoretically and logically, yes, because he paid the price for the whole world. But there ain't nobody chosen of God that would do what Adolf Hitler did. You can say, well, what if he cried for forgiveness in the bunker? Theoretically, whosoever will, but no man cometh to the Father, save the Spirit draw him, and he didn't will. What about suicides? Can you do you condemn them because they murdered themselves? Nobody knows what goes on in a suicide candidate's mind. I'll preach at the funeral. That's between them and God.